So I heard a tough employment story over the weekend. I was in Michigan with my family, and my brother, who after working his entire career in management in the food and beverage industry, has now got a new job, and he's very happy about it, working as a nail gun operator in a window factory. That's right, and it's paying the bills. Mark Jack, you're 25 years old. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How's your job working out for you?
Well, it's working.
You
at
sound,
least I'm working.
At least I'm working. So what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm a barista and a bartender at a little cafe bar in Bushwick.
And it's a job you sort of had to take as opposed to something you trained all your life for.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's actually a similar job to one I had before I even graduated and had a degree. Yeah.
So happy to have a job, but really not, challenging you up to your personal expectations. What are you trained to do?
Well, I was looking to continue in academics. I have a degree in literature or just something with writing. But a lot of jobs in the private sector at least require some internships that are unpaid. And I just can't afford an unpaid internship right now with all my student loans.
And we've talked about that on this program a number of times. So, Mark, Jack, there's a name for your existence right now. Did you know that?
I've started hearing that.
There's a name, and Beth Koblenner here in the studio, Takeaway Work and Personal Finance contributor, knows what it is you're going through. What do we call Mark Jack's situation?
We call that malemployment. It's not underemployment where people are working fewer hours than they want to, but malemployment is a term that was around in the 70s, and Professor Andrew Sum of Northeastern University has put it back into circulation. And what it means is you have a college degree, but you're working in a job that does not require a college degree.
Would you call malemployment what my brother is going through, where he can't get a job in his profession?
I think that if the nail business was not something that would require a college degree,
definitely not.
And he has a college degree, then yes, he is malemployed.
You know, Mark, I have to say to you, and I hope you'll just take this in the spirit in which it's offered. You're a literature degree. You have a bachelor's in literature, right? Now you have to have some expectation that you're not going to get a job as a professional literary dude, right?
Oh, well, of course. Even my professors in school were pretty adamant about making that clear to us.
But what do you think economically it means, Beth, this dislocation between people's college training and the jobs that are out there? Is it anything different than just resetting expectations in time of economic hardship?
Right. I think what I was going to say in his situation and in tens of hundreds of thousands of young people, particularly in their 20s, I mean, it used to be a cliche. You'd go into a restaurant and the person there who was the waiter had big dreams of being an actor or a writer. Now they have big dreams of getting a job as an accountant or getting a job as an engineer in the field that they studied in college. And they really, when I talked to a lot of people, shopping this weekend with my kids, I found so many people in this position, and they're very upset and feel like their big dreams have been squashed.
How do you feel? A big dream squashed, Mark Jack?
Well, a little bit, though I know I am in company. I guess I think my entire kitchen staff went to UMass. So it's a little hard to feel too bitter when everyone else around you is feeling this way too.
What do you think it means that your start out, and everybody has, it's sort of a tough road to hoe in their younger years, but in general, if you start out in the economy thinking that your expectations are pretty much always going to be unrealized, does that sort of prepare you for a life of demoralization?
I worry that it does. I'm trying not to be bitter or too skeptical, being a little optimistic, but in trying to remain not so bitter, I feel maybe I'm becoming a little used to it. having my dream deferred.
Bitter people have written some great books, though, Mark.
true. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm trying to remain bitter and still optimistic about my bitterness, maybe.
But Beth, how much is this just about being a young college graduate? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's almost always a period of time where you're putting your time in before you get that plum job.
This is true, but when you look at the statistics, they're fairly startling. Right now, about half of all kids who graduate from college are in jobs that don't require college degrees, whereas in 1980, it was only 30%. So there's been a huge increase in the number of kids in this situation.
Are we seeing a sort of secondary shift of what happened in manufacturing in the United States, where people could come out of high school, get a job in the local factory, and basically have enough to support a family of four? That hasn't existed for a long time in America. Are we now seeing that the college-educated workforce is also suffering from that?
Yes, and of course it trickles down. You know, if the person who had in high school was able to get a certain job, now the college person's replacing them in that job, it's even worse for the person who doesn't have the college degree. But I think the other big point is that there was a study that came out by Yale that showed this is not just something that tends to last a couple of years and then everybody's fine, the recession is over. What's happened is they did a 17-year study the last time we had a recession, and after 17 years, the people who were malemployed initially are still earning 10% less than they would have had they gotten a college
job. Sorry
to
give away the ending of your novel or your life story there, Mark Jack. Before we go, give me your dreams. What are your legitimate sort of employment dreams for you? You're a smart guy. You've got a degree.
Yeah, well, you know, I would like to get into writing maybe for some magazines, but I think that'd be nice. Something get back to writing. Get back to words.
Magazines are dying, Mark, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well,
online,
you know,
magazines.
Online, too.
Online. Give me some hope.
Online. What do you like online to read?
I read Harper's a lot, and I've been actually reading online a lot more than I've been reading it my physical edition.
All right. Well, you got to get that portfolio together. You got to get those clips together. You can't let that barista job. You got to listen to those people who come up to the bar, right? Take their stories down.
Take good notes.
Do you have a notebook there at the bar?
Yeah, I do. I do keep one there.
All right. Mark Jack, 25-year-old, holds a literature BA, currently a barista bartender, supports himself with food stamps, an example of what Beth Koblenner calls malemployed. Good luck, Mark.
Thank you.
And thanks, Beth. Beth
My
Koblenner,
pleasure.
Takeaway Work and Personal Finance Contributor.
Well, since we're talking about finances, we talked earlier about a future where the U.S. dollar possibly could not be the reserve currency. But what do you think? If we didn't use the U.S. dollar, and clearly we're not using gold, what should be the new monetary standard?
I think the new standard should be computer chips. That's more valuable than anything else in our world today.
They also go obsolete faster than any other object in our world. Don't forget, you can text us your suggestion by texting START to 69866. Here's what some of our listeners had to say. From Kirkwood, Missouri, we should use water as the new standard. Soon we will be. Then maybe we'd take better care of it.
And a foodie from Denver, Colorado texted, we should use coffee and cheesecake. Peace can be achieved over Java.
Renewable resources.
Give us your take, 8778-MY-TAKE, or text the word START to 69866. I'm Celeste Headley.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.